Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. And it is now the exact summer solstice. Right now, the sun has just entered zero Cancer. Woo, solstice, the sun appears to stand still. And so we, in turn, step into the center of the storytelling circle, right? No longer buffeted around the periphery. And the moon walks the earth. The full moon, which will be tomorrow, more about that in a moment, rises at extreme southern point of the horizon and will travel low to the ground. It happens once every 18.6 years, and here we are. So, today, I co-riff with Jerome McGeorge, fellow anarcho-astro-animist, co-founder Organic Valley, to and fro with segments from our previous show, Honoring the Solstice, and our last conversing around the Midsummer Night Entheo bonfire, including messages from the Kogi of Colombia for us now, this time of dedication, with whom Jerome spent much time and was their guide on their first trip to America, October 20th to November 5th, 1999, sponsored by Organic Valley, of which Jerome is the co-founder. It was an investigative mission of discovery, bringing messages of wisdom, warning, and mutual aid. I am anchoring Jerome. I'm pulling on his wizard ankles. He was going to be the guest this hour, but we have him channeled, right? I'm pulling on his wizard ankles to keep him in this world. Squabbling has always been part of our companionable journey together, so it's like, you stay here, you rascal. It's time for him to receive supportive blessing from the multiverses to which he's contributed so much immeasurable good and a treasure trove of applied erudition. You know, in my book, he wins the Best Aries Award, imbued with the medicine of seeing deeply with a kind heart. He's agent of Green Man, an ally of richly cultivated playful erudition, longtime organic bioregional farmer, founding member of Coulee Region Organic Produce, the cooperative that is Organic Valley, over 2,000 farms. We go, yes. So it's a powerful time of dedication for all of us. And, you know, tomorrow night will be the Capricorn Cancer full moon, the solstice full moon, with the moon walking the earth. So Capricorn Cancer full moon, it's for conjuring, magnetizing, animating, and spiraling forth Saturnine structures that serve Big Mama's loving protection of life. And, you know, just as a quirky footnote, the state of Louisiana has just mandated a display of the Ten Commandments in public schools and state-funded universities. The Ten Commandments, every one of which the former guy has broken, and we say, hey, what about the Beatitudes? That would be, you know, blessed are the meek. Let's put that up there, you guys. Okay, now back to us. So here we go. So the full moon, you know, it is opportune. It's solstice. Tomorrow is the solstice full moon. I will be convening with Sean Patrick O'Donohue, the magic of the solstice full moon as a culmination of our council from Beltane to solstice, from courtship to wedding. All are welcome. That's tomorrow, June 21st at 5 p.m. Pacific time, replay and all that. You can find out more at coyotenetworknews.com. But wherever we are, you know, again, this powerful time, you know, again, let me just say it again, for conjuring, magnetizing, animating, and spiraling forth Saturnine structures to serve Big Mama's loving protection of life. And our Kahoot tomorrow night will be convening right through the exact full moon. Again, wherever you are, it'll be 6.07 p.m. West Coast time. It is a potent, opportune time for us all to plight our troth, as the Kogi would have us do. The Kogi of Colombia said that this summer solstice was all important. Their winter solstice, putting forth, you know, video warning prophecy, said that humans had until now, until the summer solstice and the full moon of 2024, to dedicate to the earth. We're here. And they said, according to our dedication, would now, would determine if more than 30% of the Earth would still be alive by the winter solstice of 2025, a year and a half from now. It's like, okay. Sure, yes, sounds likely. And so from my own point of view, I go, not that they arrived at this through astrology. We don't even need astrology. We don't really need anything. These are all remedial tools. But I go, well, what is the, you know, what is that? The summer solstice now, today, tomorrow, full moon, and then a year and a half later, the winter solstice of 2025. Why did the Kogi pick these out? Well, Neptune dreams, vision, our collective dream, our sense of kinship that we're all in this thing together, is now stationing at 29 plus Pisces, the very last degree of the zodiac. And it will retrograde, it'll go backwards and then forwards and station again at the winter solstice of 2025. So we go, ooh. And Neptune says, you know, with all of creation backstage going, what are we going to do about the humans? We got to either kill them or heal them. Let's do both. Let's make everything that has ever moved humans to participatory goodness and kinship available for fresh expression. Now, on the website and with this, with the listing, you know, coyotenetworknews.com is listed. Again, you can just watch it. It's me speaking about the themes of the year from January, but it also has the video of the Kogi prophecy. So here we are, this deep, deep sacred week. You know, we're on our way to the full moon solstice sovereignty, where we wed ourselves and plight our troth, kiss the bride for you or she, rewedded to your sovereignty, or groom, he as preferred, to our solstice. May we all be arriving in her home this week. So just a couple of days ago, June 17th to the 23rd, these are all the exact longest days. Daylight is 15 hours and 17 minutes from the 17th to the 23rd. It's all solstice to a deep, still place where we can be agents of principles rather than subject of laws. You know, and it's nice, it's grand that it takes us through June 23rd, which is the holiest magic day in New Orleans. June 23rd, High John Eve, is when High John the Conqueror, the great folk hero, you know, trickster, liberating the entire circumstance, liberate those who are oppressed, liberate the oppressor, liberate the entire circumstance, walks the streets with Marie Laveau, the great voodoo queen of New Orleans, about whom it was said, Marie Laveau did not create cultural movements, but a woman of her substance understood what was at stake. She saw a role to be played and played it to the hilt, helping to coalesce a scattered and oppressed peoples into a moment of dynamic cultural ecstasy. And so we tease it into availability to all ourselves, going, we don't have to create cultural movements. They're happening. The winds are sweeping the earth, you know, and we'll hear more from the Kogi and from Jerome on these issues. But for each one of us, you know, we understand what's at stake. We see a role to be played and play it to the hilt. We go, all right, this is it. All hands on deck. I love Paramahansa Yogananda saying, the moment you know who you are, you know what to do. And then I like bringing in the sacred teachings of Rocky and Bullwinkle. Eeny, meeny, chilly, beanie, the spirits are about to speak. Okay, so sacred bonfires or arson, right? The world's on fire, right? And it's saying many, many things to us, but it's like, you know, if we honored fire more, perhaps less arson. If we honored water more, perhaps fewer floods. All of that honoring. So, yes, and Saturn is stationing now, squaring the moon. And as beloved astro ally Sylvia Hanley says, Saturn, uh-oh, might get something done. Oh, there we go. We have incentive. It's like first dread, fear, and depression. And Saturn says, too shallow, go deeper. Dedication is the antidote to dread and depression. Go. That's this whole powerful time of really right now that we be agents of accountability, binding the harmful, protecting the good, imagining the pewter shield of protection around ourselves, boundaries are good, and anyone, anything in need of safe self-possession. So whatever we do for ourselves grants us the spiritual muscle tone to do that in the world. So let's break some spells and take new vows. It's part of what we will be doing tomorrow night. But again, the full moon is democratic. Wherever you are, it will be. So, and this is also available. You can gather with us tomorrow night, coyotenetworknews.com, or wherever you're drawn to be, all good. So we toss old vows that were once a sane assessment of how we and our ancestors needed to be. But then those vows went blah, blah, blah into the shadowy depths, becoming binding spells, identifiable by any chronic, from Kronos, Saturn, kerfuffle in our lives. So the ones that I know most for self and others, and I'm sure there are others, but here's the two that I really know, and see if either one of them resonates with yourselves. So we might be born and look around, and if we're born into challenging circumstance, we might have appropriately made the vow, I vow to not need any help. I'll do it myself. And that might have been a realistic, useful assessment. But then it goes blah, blah, blah into the deeper realms, you know, and the backstage gods, especially now, especially this powerful time, go, oh, yoo-hoo, every one of you, could you use more help? And it's like, yes, yes, we could. Yes, we could. You know, and they're like, right, because vowing to not need any help, again, useful for a moment, but it kind of precludes intimacy because it means we can give but not receive. So that might not apply to everybody, but to some people. The other one that I think it might be useful, possibly to everybody here, is, you know, looking around and all of us, you know, quirky and eccentric and ecstatic. Remember, eccentric means to stand outside, or it means outside the circle, and ecstatic means standing outside, right? So I love working with, you know, progressive team when they're in conflict with other groups going, those people don't respect me or let me in. We go, that's because you have an ecstatic relationship to that group. How wonderful. There we go. So in case we might have, as young people, said, I vow to keep part of myself, precious part of myself, unfindable, just to nourish our own unique qualities, you know, and that's useful. But then it goes blah, blah, blah into the unconscious, and the backstage gods go, you know, it's amazing that this many people know you're breathing. Would you like to modify that? Modify that. Willing to be findable, not by any old dingbat, willing to be findable by our resonant team. You know, and we go, ollie, ollie, income free. It's safer for everybody really to emerge as they are. There are still terrible things going on in the world and many inquisitions. But we like to say now, you know, it's safer for everybody to come out as to who they truly are. So it's fun to find these vows, but not necessary. We can simply say, if there be any vows I may have taken, known or unknown, that were once useful, but are no longer, we toss them into Pluto's cauldron, into the solstice cauldron, and ladle out some new, more fun vows that we contribute our cultivated, liberating, trickster, unique skills to the community of creation at this time of dire beauty. There we go. Okay. So again, we will be doing that, you know, as a team tomorrow night at 5 p.m., I think that's right, East Coast time. But you can do it on your own, too, all of those things. So here we go. So to honor, you know, the solstice, the sun has just arrived at 0 degrees of Cancer. The Sabian symbol for that degree, the tradition of a metaphor for each degree of the circle, goes way back. But the image for us right now, the sun at zero, Cancer, 0, 0, is a sailor lowers one flag and raises another. Flags are kind of in the news now, but it's like, yes, and sometimes tangibly doing it, going, all right, what is each one of our flag? I got scolded and banned by Facebook, going, you can't tell anybody anything because you posted I reposted. It was a joke. It was a joke, right? But the algorithms don't know that. Somebody had posted a Nazi flag going, you know, here's Mrs. Alito's latest flag. And I had said, you know, Virgonia Alito is how she shall be known henceforth. And they were like, bad. It was the flag that, you know, elicited that thing, the tripwire. But nonetheless, anyway, so there we go. But here we are, flags. We lower one flag and raise another. And we're going to be conversing with wonderful Jerome McGeorge. So let's play our first 15-minute clip of he and I dancing. We have esteemed ally, astro-mytho-wizard ally, Jerome McGeorge. He is the founding member of the Cooley Region Organic Produce Pool, the cooperative that is Organic Valley, which is 2,000 farms, you said, right?
It is 2,000 farms. And interestingly, 40% are Amish Mennonite. And they truly represent the small farm, the devolution of industrial agriculture, and that, well, let me just throw out our definition of organic, which is a real guiding light, that organic means a philosophy and system of production that mirrors laws of the living creation and emphasizes the interdependence of all life. And that in terms of a future, we also, beyond the organic, we have the new regenerative concept that is gaining momentum. And I like the concept of a better world, especially in terms of our agriculture and food supply, is that we are in a regeneration in cooperation with the living creation. And that in our food and agriculture, and some, I'm among them, who believe the most destructive ecological impact of them all is industrial agriculture. We were talking recently, actually, a great truth, there's more women farmers in the world than male food producers. And that I think one wonderful example of more women in leadership is a leadership women might meet us in the transformation of our agriculture, of our food production, indeed, our relationship with the living creation.
Right. Well, and that's why I love stirring the freedom and misfreedom. And then I was recently introduced by a recent ally to Maria Leonza, right? And it's a fantastic statue that presides over Caracas, Venezuela, and she's very famous, and she's large-breasted, strongly muscled, you know, riding on a tapir on top of a snake and holding above her a female pelvis, and it's like, and so she's happy to be introduced to freedom and misfreedom, going, welcome, welcome. So she is a syncretism of sort of Catholic on top of indigenous, on top of African, you know, vital, vital, these vital images kind of coming alive, and these forces that have been contained in the statues kind of awaiting our invitation. Come, we need all the help we can get. We love that. But I want to spiral back to, you know, when we were talking about progress, which is pretty linear, right? It's like, we're going there, right? It's got a place, but it needs a meandering curvy. It's very Mars. It needs a meandering curvy thing. And then just to our team, it's like, might we want to even throw the word progressive into the cauldron? Because it's an insurance company, really, now. And it's, you know, maybe we want more words and gerunds, ing words would be more fun. You know, just to open up, you know, go and throw things into the cauldron and see what wafts out this night or the ensuing nights or all of these things. So, you know, I have, this is not necessarily going to catch on in popular parlance, but in our trickster backstage, you know, I like talking about sane, reverent people. Sane, reverent people proposed this today, and, you know, Republicans came out against sane, reverent people. Or, you know, just, again, wordplay, whatever vessel we put on our altar, you know, there's available animation for whatever we put there. It's quite humming, you know, and we are heading into this, you know, deep, you know, well, its definition of community, right? It's the Saturn Uranus, which is community is comprised of boundaries and freedom, you know, dedicated boundaries in service to collective freedom. We wear masks as a sacrament, really, of dedication to collective well-being and freedom. It's a maturation assignment, really, going, we can do this, and the masks can be fun. It's just a ritual of respect and good citizenship. You know, to have boundaries. Animals do this, right? You know, and if we could just, again, the things that have happened this year, I don't know if you saw the fantastic movie My Octopus Teacher, but it's a wonderful contribution. It is, you know, the individual to the collective, that's a part of our dynamic. So it's a marine biologist at the tip of South Africa, and he goes every day for a year, to connect, to form a relationship with this particular octopus. And his admiration for its stealth and its intelligence is boundless. And they form really a friendship. It's very moving. You know, and octopi only live for a year, so it's got a poignant ending. But in that year, you know, and here's, we got a year unfurling before us, and we go, that's all that an octopus gets, and look at what it does in a year. It becomes marvelous, trickster, ingenious, stealth, master of disguise, and ingenious at exposing others' disguise, and, you know, witty. And it might be also part of our, you know, what do we humans bring to the table? Well, I know from my 19-year friendship with a coyote that there is, you know, may all of our relationships be of reciprocal blessing, evolutionary freedom and delight, you know, that the dog, you know, we're all giving up something, but we're getting something, you know, and there is something about, you know, loving a particular being of the whole genus that draws forth in all the participants, you know, this increasing, spiraling quality of intelligence, you know. And, you know, and what I learned from Stella Coyote is that towards the end, when she was 18, 19, and people go, how long do coyotes live? And I go, that's a rude question. How long did your grandparents live? But we don't know. And there's never been a coyote that had more access to coconut water and bananas as well as meat and things, you know. But our conversation, and it really was a conversation towards the end, I go, oh, Stella Coyote, you know, our deal where we gave up a lot and you gave up some freedom, you know, but now you get a safe old age, which nature would not provide you. And in that safe old age, so much different qualities of telepathy and intelligence emerged. And that's also part of what this year has brought us too, which is, you know, marine scientists were saying, what possible use could postmenopausal mammals be? What possible use? And then they studied the orcas, and they're like, oh, the grandmothers run the whole thing, you know, and elephants very important too. But the orcas, the grandmother is the lead, right? A couple feet or a couple miles. And what they found
was, and the memory. The grandmother elephants carry so much of the memory of the group, and as the text I referenced earlier, Beyond Worlds, that with elephants, we get maybe the most elegant representation of what matriarchal culture, matriarchal society would be like. Elephant society is very matriarchal. And of course, there are the male elephants, some of them even roguish, sometimes with their trunks sniffing the wind, but that elephants are an incredible matriarchal culture.
Right. And then I never tire of bringing up also the positive male older elephant, that there were rogue elephants in South Africa that were goring rhinoceroses and keeping the other animals from the waterhole and behaving in a very unelephant way. And the warden said, well, we're going to have to kill them all. And then somebody said, no, no, remember, we killed their family. We killed their elders. So let's bring in, let's ask, I hope it was done with politeness, let's bring in some elder male elephants who came in and they were like, this is not what we just been just. And they're like, oh, we didn't know. You know? And I like us imagining that, you know, and liberating the elephant from the being the totem of any political party. Just, but, you know, let's see the older elephants coming into the mall, the National Mall, going, no, you proud boys, you're missing the whole point of life. Just, oh, we didn't know. And then, you know, what they also found in the orcas was the grandchildren of the grandmother matriarch lived longer and did better, even if they no longer knew her, even if they'd gotten separated. Her living presence ensured the thriving and well-being. And we go, oh, that's really great. And of course, it was the exile of the grandmothers. Well, the founding fathers, or you know, whatever, they hoovered, you know, much of Iroquois democracy, but they left out the thing that made it work, which was the Council of Grandmothers. They're going, oh, we don't need this thing. And there's a beautiful poem I just reposted, and somebody reminded me to repost it, that came out of this year. Oh, I'm going to forget, unfortunately, the name of the beautiful, beautiful black woman poet, but it's a great thing, and we will post it everywhere. And it's a beautiful poem going, give the police to the grandmothers. And it's a beautiful.
Yes.
It's a wonderful vision, you know, and let them drive, you know, great grandmother cars just with, you know, just fitted out and sweet honey in the rock pouring forth. And they have, you know, and are you hungry? Because, yes, you are hungry. And let us, you know, anyway, this revisioning. And what we do now and pouring forth into this year, you know, Mercury in Capricorn, very practical, is in happy accord with Neptune, the ideal. The voicing of the ideal just opens currents of possibility to flow into the world, you know, priming the pump of our imaginative ingenuity and our capacity for tangible blessing, you know, and tangible community blessing. So, yes, all of that.
Imagination. I'm saying in such agreement with you, Carolyn, that as opposed to Blake's imagination denied, we must once again cherish our imaginative capacities and be inspired by the whole of the living creation in that effort.
Yes.
We were mentioning, Carolyn, I want to just call out an extraordinary guy in the new text by Kim Stanley Robinson, The Ministry for the Future. And for all of us who are trying to ponder the future, for all of us who are obviously wanting a better future, this text is an imagination as we are preparing for transition, and a transition we hope away from the six extinction characteristics we now confront and into a much more Aquarian cooperative, a world of social activist ideals. And Aquarius is such the sign of social idealism as well as the development of technology.
Right. And did you know Barry Lopez?
I only was in his company once. What is your thought, Carolyn?
Well, he died recently, and it's part of just an honoring of a great teammate. I love his quotes. I love his dedicated life. I often thought, oh, should have him on radio. Oh, better to act on those things. But I love the homages. He said, I made myself look at where nothing was going on and see that it's teeming, right? It's teeming. And someone honoring him said he looked at cruelty and beauty. He looked at the cruelty and beauty of the world with compassion. It's like, oh, that's great to look at the cruelty and beauty of the world with compassion. And then climate change, and he lost his home of 50 years to fire, and that was a hard thing to come back from. But I just wanted to do a, you know, grace in the midst of devastation, yeah, mythology and fiction. So we're in the middle of the Visionary Activist Show. We're to-ing and fro-ing with Jerome McGeorge. And in case there are some quirky references, it's actually from a show that was December 31st, 2020, but it's perfect for us now. We're going to take our very, very quick musical break, and we'll be right back after a little reminder from Bob Marley. Here we go.
There's a natural mystic flowing through the air. If you listen carefully now, you will hear. This could be the first trumpet, might as well be the last. Many more will have to suffer.
Teammates, this is the Visionary Activist Show. I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. We are to-ing and fro-ing with great ally Jerome McGeorge, who was going to be his in-person guest now, but he's hovering between worlds. I'm holding onto his ankles, going, "You come back here," because that is part of our play. That is part of our play. We're both disobedient, and I go, you come back here. But it's pertinent. It's pertinent. It is the exact solstice now. It is a time of deep dedication. The Kogi of Colombia said that this is the most important summer solstice, and the full moon tomorrow night, where you can join with other. You can join with anybody you want, right? You can also join with me and Sean Patrick O'Donohue, CoyoteNetworkNews.com for more information. But anywhere you are will be this solstice full moon. Again, all that Jerome was mentioning, it's the full moon of kinship. It's the full moon of applied working things. It's the as we just ended too, you know, that Barry Lopez looked at the cruelty and beauty of the world with compassion, and so does Jerome. You know, we say the Jerome McGeorge. So we say the best medicine really in the world, and we're all brewing our medicine of how and who we want to be, is to see the sketchy and the horrible and the, you know, and to really see it, right? And like Haijian the Conqueror and Scheherazade, these trickster, redeemer, hero, heroines, folk heroes who liberate the whole circumstance, to see deeply and to wish it well. Well, not condone, but to wish it well. You know, I was sitting around the Entheo fire conversing with Jerome last night, you know, and going, oh, right, and looking at all of the horrors in the world, going, what did this cruelty and these horrible things want to be? And if they were liberated, might they become beautiful? Let's see. Let's see. What did this want to be before it got sketchy and conditioned, right? So the sun in Cancer, the solstice, you know, for a bazillion years, you know, well, 25,000 years, we know for sure people have gathered now. And what's going on at the solstices and equinoxes? You know, this form of participatory ritual magic. O literal and symbolic light of sun, come on in and illuminate what we don't normally see, this painting, this writing at the back of the cave. This is the story our community wants to bring alive. And so these things, we have endogenous receptors for, you know, cannabis and DMT. We have endogenous receptors for ritual. It's in us. We know that this is a powerful time. And some things are always true, but times when they're truer. So the Kogi, you know, really stress, you know, that now is the time to write out our dedications, to put them in our hearts and on our altars and go, hold us to this. We are willing to be agents on behalf of what we love in nature, you know, in the human world. So Jerome had written me, we're still working. He's preparing a show on prophecy, which is like, you're not going anywhere, young man, you Aries. You know, we have to finish this. But he'd said, the earth and myself are of one mind, is a quote from Chief Joseph. And he will, in the next recorded segment, you'll hear him say this again, but it's useful. This is William James. The chief characteristic of modern civilization is the sacrifice of the future for the present. And Jerome writes, the chief Joseph quote is so ecologically excellent, and the James quote perhaps the best one-sentence summary for our world of human affairs, especially the USA, that world and planet being Pachamama, mother. See, the sun in Cancer is really where Mercury, Legba, hands the baton to the moon, to Big Mama. Big Mama going, here you go. You know, again, we're all her children. You know, Brer Rabbit, there was times when all the critters used to gather to sagacuate, just like there ain't been no hard times, like there ain't been no falling out, like they all remembered they were kin. You know, and anytime something is at 0 degrees, 30 degrees to a sign, it's like a first responder, but it encounters Pluto. Pluto, principle of death, rebirth, renewal, the cauldron at 1 degree of Aquarius. And so the sun connects now with Pluto in a quirky 150-degree angle, going, we're aware of danger. We're aware of danger, and we have a cauldron into which to toss, you know, break old spells, take new vows personally and collectively. Like, you know, this, may it be, again, impossible miracles. It's a time for that, and to see it, power of imagination and envisioning, as Jerome exhorts. He says, more imagination, right? To see, you know, July 1st, Steve Bannon goes to jail. Good, because he is really, really toxically unhinged, in an esoterically black magic kind of way. So he's only going away for 4 months. But that is also the day, July 1st, Steve Bannon goes to prison, when we see Leonard Peltier emerging after so long. And again, it's our power of seeing it. You know, and we've been posting this and working with people, again, to see that and to sign petitions and to whatever. And again, our envisioning, we just want to hone our craft now, all important, you know, in a lot of the posts, because people will go off and go, oh, no, I hope he doesn't spend another year in prison. It's like, no, we don't want to see that. We're not suppressing anything, you know, or, you know, this is outrageous. And yes, that's true. But we're focused now on seeing Leonard Peltier emerging. That's a crucial part of the dynamic, back into the welcoming wind and the caress of the sun and water and all of his relations. We're just seeing it, and we're going to keep seeing it until it's incarnationally actual. And again, you know, for all of us, you know, to see the desirable, to see the desirable. So the Kogi said, you know, this is the time. We'll be posting a lot more of Jerome and Kogi on website coyotenetworknews.com. But let's play our second Jerome and me clip. Here we go.
The old world is unraveling, and the new world is not yet imagined. However, there are many visionaries in a growing embrace of creative mind, and that this is a time when we must prepare for a transformation, either into a positive new world, or we'll continue on the path, as Elizabeth Colbert framed it, the sixth extinction.
Right. We know it's dodgy and dangerous. It sounds like a case for the compassionate trickster within and without, going, oh, against all odds are the odds that trickster likes. There are the crises are huge, and we are here gathering our woof. So we have, you know, the planets represent living qualities of intelligence that reside within us and connect us to the world. So whether you know this language or not, just think of parts of each one of us humming as we call them forth. So Saturn, you know, is, we want to insource everything. Saturn is boundaries, leadership, dedication. I love the sensei says, you know, let's see, freedom is responsibility, because we have Saturn and Jupiter conjoined in Aquarius, the realm of Saturn and Uranus. So we want to talk about, you know, obedience and disobedience, you know, in all those ways. And I do want to bring up I love the part in the Quran where the hidden guide, Qadir, the green man, a cousin to yourself, arrives before Moses and says to Moses, "What is this fetish you have about rules? You know, here, let me help you out." And he gives him Shaktipat, really, and it's really like direct connection. No need for rules, no need for priesthood. I've told that to Persian Muslim friends of mine, and they're like, "That's in the Quran." It's like, it is. You got to die for it, but it is there. So right, and I think Aquarius, you know, it's like the heresies, the liberating heresies. There was, you know, in the Middle Ages, they said, well, there's God the Father, and he's grumpy, you know, as Blake called him, old nobodaddy, right? And then we have God the Son, okay, it's a good one. And then we have God the Son, you know, that's pretty okay. But then we have the Holy Ghost, which is direct connection for each person with their own autonomous connection. You know, all of living creation directly connected to the divine. There we go. And that's part of the Aquarius dynamic, right, which is priesthoods, even gurus, what the hell, into the cauldron, going, no, the teacher is the community. We're all, you know, we're all parts of that. So, I like the duty to be disobedient but obedient to one's own, cultivating one's own authentic gift to the community. So, there.
Well, we're trying to break out in the old world that is unraveling out of some, what I would call, wretched features of the superego. And there is much to rebel against. And, of course, I love something you really emphasize. We're in this Uranus square as we speak on this New Year's Eve. And Uranus is the awakener, and a concept that I evolved as a response to the Mayan calendar, and particularly as 2012 was approaching, we are between worlds right now, and that we're in a time of apocawakening, and in that we're preparing for transition. But I would also, you mentioned Blake. Blake, 200 plus years ago, in the dawning of the Industrial Age, declared art degraded imagination denied, war governed the nations. 100 years later, another William James, said, the chief characteristic of modern civilization is the sacrifice of the future for the present. We've got to stop sacrificing the future as one New Year's resolution.
That's great. And I want to bring in Sir Herbert Reed, a great British anarchist, who said, only those serving an apprenticeship to nature can be trusted with technology. And I think this is something to put on our altar of desirable mystery, all of us, you know, with our altars, New Year's Eve, you know, again, rituals, not anything that somebody else tells you to do. It's any physical thing we do that we imbue with dedicated symbolism, you know, by the placing of this here, by the stirring of this soap. And it's always for self and others, you know, in that realm. So I think Sir Herbert Reed saying, you know, only those serving an apprenticeship to nature can be trusted with technology, that really is an essence of Aquarius to Taurus and the necessary, you know, the rewedding of what's been falsely estranged as a mean trick of the reality police to render good-hearted people ineffective, right? So it's... So again, you know, and we're here defining, you know, in many ways what is community. And I love Bruce Dahmer, hired by NASA to explore the origins of life, and he says the origins of life is community. It's like, well, there we have it. You can pick up your salary now. So right here before us, you know, Aquarius does pose the question to us, you know, what is community? What is a healthy community of our interior psyche and our exterior world? And then from Aquarius we get to Taurus, and it says, well, any healthy community of our private interior self and you know, must allow for sensual participatory animism, you know, and respect and partnering with the living guiding intelligence of nature. And then we get to Leo, where the moon is and will be this night as we launch into the next year. And Leo chimes in and says, well, a healthy community encourages and supports the unique creativity of the individual as opposed to suppressing it. And then we get to Scorpio, which is the missing element. So we have to fill that in here, in our choreography. And it says, Pluto will do, but it says a healthy community inward and outward depends on how much it welcomes the spicy, truthful contribution of the Scorpio positive intrigue, going nothing more fun really than the truth. Yes, so we're to-ing and fro-ing. The astrologically alert might have noticed a quirky reference about Saturn and Jupiter conjoined at zero Aquarius. That's because these are clips from December 31st, 2020, but still super pertinent and alive. It's Jerome McGeorge and me kind of co-riffing, but bringing it in. And Jerome says, you know, with the Kogi, and the Kogi saying this is the most important summer solstice right now for everybody to plight their troth and make their dedication, and upon this time and upon our dedications, they say, will determine if more than 30% of the earth is alive and the winter solstice of 2025. And we go, okay, you know, sounds, you know, likely. And Jerome also, he spent, he said since 1995, Jerome traveled to their homeland a dozen times for as many awesome adventures and teachings and rituals. And then in 1998, they chose him as one of their guides to come to Washington, D.C., which they did. And they have the Elder Brothers Call, you know, which is powerful now. And they say, we wish you all, take this into our hearts now, it's really, we wish you would start making your pagamentos again, your offerings to each of your daily activities. We wish you would make your deep reflections on all that you investigate, on what you study, on the sages, on the scientists, on those who read, on all those who in one way or another are interested in the survival of humankind. That would lead us to a true life in communion and not what we see at present. Just now, this is Elder Brother Mamo Avintera Juan Batista Villafania. Just now I was listening to the message of the thunder, namely that at this moment our people in the Sierra in Colombia need us to achieve true communication with you, with you, everyone listening now. So let us start shedding our fears of natural phenomena, for they are part of our integrity. I would be happy to share with you many simple teachings to us. Humility, humbleness is a sign of wisdom. That is what we want you to pass on to the new generations. And it says, Elder Brother says, I also want to make a call for us to find our true identity. We're still in time to reach that goal. You and we, the Mamos, must be on the alert. Every moment of the day, from the highest places in the Sierra, our reflections are directed toward humankind finding their true balance. Balance, and we just bring us back to the solstice of right now. This seems a bit difficult, but if we make an effort to achieve it, we can do that. The reforestation campaigns and the environmental education programs must consider the native varieties of every region. You may speak the different languages of the world, but it does not suffice to speak them. You need to know the language of nature, the language of all that surrounds you. To us, all that circles around us is full of experience, full of life. Let us rescue these great resources again, those great fruits of the earth that seem to have vanished. Again, this is from the Kogi to us, especially right now, unity in diversity. So let's go to our last clip of Jerome McGeorge and me co-riffing, teased into pertinence to now.
Future, androgynous, cooperative, and kind. Millions, the visionaries, embrace creative mind. Future, we trust, will be perfectly timed.
I love that.
Well, it's a more cosmic perspective, and that we are in a profound period of waking up to a deeper sense of our cosmic inhabitation, and we are in an awakening to higher levels of psyche. And part of in a contemplation of the outer planets, that mentioning Uranus as the outer planet, the awakener, and Neptune, the outer planet, as visionary. And of course, Pluto is, we will transform no matter what. And we must become, as part of this new age shift, this new age imagination, that we have much higher embrace of change and evolutionary intelligence.
Right. And a willingness to cooperate with that which is smarter than our own. I mean, there's been a huge, you know, part of, you know, many years, but this last year too, there's been an arising from the outskirts of being dissed into the embrace of mainstream science, an increasing respect and amazement for trees, the intelligence of trees, plants, the cooperative realm and the Pluto realm of the roots and the mycelia and the altruism among trees. You know, when a tree is dying, it spends forth, it dispenses, you know, its stored nutrients to all of its kin, going, I'm on my way out, but there you go. There we go. We're on our way out, but there you go. yeah, the altruism is self-interest. And as we prepare to be on our way out from our solstice convening and then full moon tomorrow night at 6:07 p.m. exactly, and gather wherever you want to gather, and you can gather with Sean Patrick O'Donohue and me if you choose. But again, it will be happening everywhere, this powerful time of dedication. And I just wanted to bring in Harriet Tubman here at the end, this beautiful, beautiful essay by Taya Miles from her book just coming out, I can't wait, called Night Flyer. And it's really about Harriet Tubman's animism. You know, as again, successful, you know, rescued 300 people, 19 journeys, never lost anybody. And it said that she, Underground Railroad, recognizing that, as Tubman had insisted all along, that she did not make her stand alone, the stars had watched over her, and she would in turn observe their light, seeing in these gaseous bodies a host of incandescent messengers. Harriet knew the North Star, her associate Helen Tatlock remembered. That was the one thing she insisted. Waterways had shored her up, you know, too, welcoming Tubman into their depth and allowing her and her party safe passage. Her most intimate natural allies seemed to have been these sprung from the soil, weeds that defied ordered hierarchical society, and trees that populated the forests where she walked, worked, and wended north. She may even have relied on landmark rocks to help her chart her course of escape, or rested on a flat, smooth stone. By the end of her life, she... she had herself become like these various features of nature. Breathing, a guiding star, a giving tree, a saving river. The essay goes on, but it's clearly we are moved by our participatory kinship, you know, and it's part of our summer solstice beauty. And we're moved by, you know, affection. We're moved by the Kogi guiding us, saying this is such a powerful time of dedication. We're moved by our kinship, may it be so. We're dedicated, the North Node says, we are dedicated to being agents of cooling out hot conflagration, spiraling out of polarity. You know, again, you know, a wonderful ally from a long time ago said, if you want people to get nothing done but conflict, convince them they're on one side of something, and you will only get heat. What two needs is three, which is the unifying story. And the solstice throughout time has been a time where we all dedicate to the desirable story, personally and collectively. And as each one of us break old spells and take new vows again, we earn the spiritual muscle tone to participate, you know, in the culture, breaking old spells and taking new vows. Let's see impossible things that we can do with the help of nature, that we can do by admiring Harriet Tubman and Jerome McGeorge and the Kogi. You know, let's see, you know, cruelty. The Kogi lived without war or weapons, you know, for a long, long time. We will be covering more of that. But let's see cruelty and tyranny being dissolved from the human repertoire. So even when tyrants go to reach for it, they go, where's cruelty and tyranny? I know it was here somewhere. It's gone. It's dissolving. Let's dedicate to necessary miracles. And again, this powerful time and this solstice full moon where the moon walks the earth. You know, so thank you, team, for everybody's dedication, strengthens everybody's dedication. You know, Mercury and Venus quintile, you know, quintile Jupiter and Neptune quintile series for the Earth. That's right. So thank you, team. Thank you, team. See some of you tomorrow night. You know, and thanks always to Kirsten Thomas, and thanks always to Jerome McGeorge, you rascal, wise wizard ally. And we will reconvene next week. Thank you.